Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further, faster. Today, we're starting a series on what it takes to create and maintain a vision for your organization. We will begin by talking with Andy about the first step in making vision stick. Well, Andy, today is all about vision and specifically communicating vision. When you talk to people about vision, everybody has a different thing that comes to mind, just right. What that means. So when you say vision, what do you think about?
For me, my working definition is vision is a mental picture of what could be fueled by a passion that it should be. Something that could be simply a wish or a dream. People have wishes and dreams all the time. But vision really is something that I feel like this is what could be and should be. It's a mental image. I've heard it described as a preferred future. And so basically, it's that idea born in the heart of a leader about what could and should be for their organization or for an organization they've yet to start. At a maybe broader level, everybody has vision. Everybody has a multifaceted vision for their life. I think just about anybody in our audience could give me a paragraph's worth of information about what do you see in the future for your family? What do you see in the future for your finances? What do you see in your future academically? And as we think about the future, again, something comes to mind. Right. And it may not be well shaped or formed. It may not be written down. But that's what a vision is. It's what I think could be and hopefully should be. And so that's appropriate for everybody, but it's especially appropriate for leaders.
Yeah, and obviously something that important, it's very important to be able to communicate it clearly and succinctly. Can you give us an example, like from your personal life, of how you would kind of, because you said everybody has one individually. Right. What would be one, say, for you?
You know, I think I began to really understand this, not so much in the context of organizational life, but personally. I had a very, very clear vision for what I wanted for my family. And part of this came from the way I was raised and then biblical values. And I decided that in order for things to be the way I foresaw them or the way I wanted them to be at home, it was going to limit for me the amount of hours I gave to my work. Right. And this was before we started North Point. This was just way back as you look at the demands of children and family. And to be a great father, to be a great husband, it requires a certain number of hours. Right. And it requires certain hours, not just a number, but some hours are more important than others. And as that became clearer and clearer to me what I wanted that to look like, it began to impact the way I viewed work. And in my little book, Choosing to Cheat, that's where that idea came from. I realized in order to accomplish at home what I wanted to accomplish at home, that meant there were some things I might not be able to accomplish at work. And that's one of the great things about vision. Vision pre-decides for us. When it's clear what we want to see happen in the future, there's a pre-decision as it relates to a lot of other things. And the clearer our vision gets, the fewer things we do and the easier it is to say no. So it really impacts every arena of life.
Yeah, you said that, it reminded me of that first sort of retreat we went on with all of our wives prior to starting the church. And it was very clear in their mind what they didn't want us to do, which was be gone four nights a week. Right. It was kind of like first rule of the church, don't be gone four nights. I mean, there was some predecisions.
That's
there.
When I gained all the support of the staff, spouses, is when I sort of cast a vision for what Sandra and I wanted.
Right.
And, you know, you were there. We just essentially said in our own way, God, you know, we want to create a church that, you know, unchurched people love to attend, and we'll talk about that. But we don't want to create a church our children hate to attend because they see the church in competition with our families. And so, again, which brings in another element, oftentimes there is competition or competing visions.
Yeah.
But, again, the clearer it is, the easier it is sometimes to you know, work through all those things.
Yeah, well, that's very clear, especially on a personal level. Now, how would you sort of turn that back now to the organizational, to the guy sitting out there trying to figure out, how do I design this for my organization?
Yeah, there's really two different kinds of leaders that listen to our podcast. There are leaders who are beginning something new, and then there are leaders who are in existing organizations that need to be renewed or need to be made new. And in both cases, leaders walk into a situation where everybody around them has a picture, a mental picture of what they think could be and should be. And the challenge for the leader is to cast a vision in such a way that everybody in the room, everybody on the board, everybody on the leadership team is beginning to see the future the way the leader sees the future. And that is a very, very difficult thing to do because everybody comes into the meeting with a predisposition toward what the organization should be like. You know, in our case, when we stood up in front of people and said, we're going to start a new church. Well, as soon as we said church, what came to mind? Yeah. Their previous church.
Exactly.
The ones they loved, the ones they hated, the ones they had good experiences and bad experiences. And here we are trying to say, no, it's not like the church you're thinking, and we had to recondition people toward church. And that's the challenge of organizational leadership and the challenge of casting vision organizationally.
Right, because once you decide on the vision, you got to talk about it.
Right.
And you said it again and again, you got to continue to talk about it.
It leaks, it changes, and every 3 weeks, every 3 months, every 3 years, there's a new group of people in your organization that never heard that original talk. And we think we talk about it too much, and in actuality, probably none of us talk about it enough.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that you've just been a master of, not only at doing, but on driving down to every level of organization, is it not only has to, you know, be complete, it's got to be simple. And that actually sets up where we're going to go in the talk that you did at Drive, where we talked about, you know, what are the five things that are required to make vision stick. And the first of that is it's got to be simple. It's got to be portable. It's got to be repeatable. So we're going to listen to the talk that you gave at Drive 09 all about the first step in making vision stick.
Five things. And the first one is to state it simply. That's the first blank, is to state it simply. Paragraphs and complex sentences don't communicate vision. Okay? Paragraphs, complicated statements, sentences don't communicate vision. In fact, some of you have a business card for your church and it has your name and your contact information on the back. It's a four-sentence mission statement that you still haven't memorized, right? In fact, there's stuff hanging in your hall, you know, your church, you know, and it's the mission statement. It's to glorify God by exalting his holy word and the angelic host of all time for the New Testament, sake of the Old Testament, of inerrancy of scripture and the saints and reach the whole world. You know, It's I am making fun of it because it is complete. It is theologically complete, but it is not transferable. Vision has to be transferable. In fact, in your notes, I gave you a little statement that is an illustration of this point. Memorable is portable. Memorable is portable. Now, I could have said memorable is portable in a long sentence, but you wouldn't remember a long sentence. You can remember memorable is portable because memorable is portable. And I would just encourage you like crazy to sit down with your team and ask the question, what do we have that's memorable and portable about our vision? Because if it's not memorable, it's not portable. It doesn't roll off the tip of your tongue. It's not easy to integrate into conversation. And you find yourself saying, well, once a year, we're going to kind of do a State of the Union, State of the Church talk and kind of cast our vision. But our vision is so complicated, it takes me 30 minutes to explain it. That's not portable. And for vision to stick, it's got to be simple, and it's got to be stated simply. And this is difficult, and here's part of the reason why. Because in order to make it, and this, and depending on your personality, you're going to have to struggle with this, to make your vision simple, it can't be complete. That means you got to leave some stuff out. It's not going to be theologically correct. Because to make it theologically correct, it's going to be too long, and it'll be accurate, but nobody's going to know what it is. And you've got to make the decision. Do we want it to be portable and transferable? And then do we want to make it stick? Or do we want it to be theologically accurate and complete, but nobody's going to know what it is? I'm not sure you can have both. And if you're going to err on one side or the other, make it memorable, make it portable so that you can make it stick. Now, you're going to have many, many opportunities as a church leader to, you know, tease this thing out and explain to people and all the nuances of your vision. But if you don't have something that's portable, it's going to be just about impossible to make it stick. Let me give you a few examples. Think back to the Barack Obama campaign. What was his vision? You all knew that. Those that voted for him knew it. Those that didn't vote for him knew it. What was Hillary Clinton's? What was John McCain's? Through the whole campaign, anytime I had a chance to talk about vision, I'd say, what's Barack Obama's vision for America? Change. And you know what? People were critical. The reason people were critical of his vision was what? What does that mean? But you know what he decided? I can have a vision statement that explains everything that I mean when I say change, and no one will what? Remember it. Or I can jam something down within any context I'm in. I can put it on posters. He summarized his whole vision, his whole campaign into one word. And then every time he got up to speak, he got to talk about it. But one thing's for sure, before he got up to talk about it, everybody knew what his vision for America was. Now, it doesn't matter if you like Barack Obama. It doesn't matter if you voted for him. What's undeniable is that those who liked him and didn't like him knew his vision in the sense that there was a word. It was memorable. It was portable. Everybody knew. And he won the election. I don't know if that has anything to do with that or not, but he won the election because everybody knew and everybody everywhere knew. Now, let me tell you what was so brilliant about that. The more complex your vision and the larger the audience you want to embrace it, the simpler it has to be. Now listen, if you're just trying to cast vision to one person, you can use paragraphs and statements and complex illustrations because you can sit across the table from one person and go over it and over and over it. But every time you add an audience, every time you add a layer, you have to make it that much more simple, which is not intuitive. And again, your personality may just cringe when I say that. But if you want to make it portable, and if you want to draw a circle that's as large as your community, as large as whatever area God's called you to reach, then you've got to make it extraordinarily, extraordinarily simple. And it doesn't get any more simple than one syllable word. You got to make it simple.
Andy, you concluded there by saying, you know, you've got to make it simple. Why is that so difficult in organizational life? What's so hard about making things simple and portable?
That's a great question. And the thing is, when you hear a well-cast vision or a well-crafted vision, it's so simple, you immediately think, well, why didn't I think about that? It's so simple. But oftentimes, the more simple the vision is, the more time somebody has spent crafting it or boiling it down to the essential. I think there's two reasons why this is difficult for organizational leaders. First of all, I think for many organizations, maybe most organizations, certainly most churches that you and I deal with, the vision isn't clear to begin with. Right. And if you're beginning with a fog, the best you can do is make it a mist, but you're not going to ever make it clear. And so if there's not a clear, compelling idea, even if it's not been crafted into a statement or if it's three or four or five sentences or a paragraph, if you don't have that, then it's going to be impossible to make it portable and to make it clear. So I think the first challenge is for leadership teams and boards to spend the time, which boards and leadership teams never want to do, because this is, you remember how long this took us.
I do.
I mean, we almost lost friendship over the discussions around vision because there's so many ideas. And none of them are wrong,
right.
And all of them are important. But again, to make it stick, it's got to be clear in the mind of the leader. Howard Hendricks used to say this, and this is where I got the imagery. He said, if it's a mist in the pulpit, it'll be a fog in the pew. And the idea being, if it's a little bit unclear for me, it's just going to be that much more unclear for an audience. So I think the first challenge is for leadership teams and organizations to decide, what is our vision before we can make it stick?
Yeah, because I remember those days you talked about, because everybody had 100 things to do. I mean, everybody had something.
We were busy. Whether we had a vision or not.
Exactly. The vision was to get through the day. There were 100 things to do, and everything seemed so critical, but you did a great job of saying, yeah, it's critical today, but long term, this is what's important. And in that whole tyranny of the urgent thing of what's urgent and what's important,
right.
This is important.
And the thing I think that, again, certain personalities, certain kind of leaders don't understand is there's this idea of, look, why doesn't everybody just get to work and get busy?
Yeah.
You know, why are we sitting around having conversations? Why are we working through and picking through words? Everybody just go to work and be happy. I mean, you're getting a paycheck. And what sometimes organizational leaders don't understand or miss or forget is that everybody at every cube, every volunteer in every position needs to understand how what they do connects to the overall thrust and drive of the organization. And if they don't understand that, they may have a job description, but they're going to lack motivation. And the only thing that connects the dots is a clearly, you know, cast vision, a compelling statement that connects all of that together. It's not enough to say you're going to get a paycheck, work hard, and love Jesus. I mean, right. In the church world, hey, don't you love God? We'll get in there and take care of the kids. But again, if there's not a rallying idea, right. Then it's just not going to happen. And again, so many organizations lack that, then it consequently it's not portable.
Yeah, and I know you've heard as many times as anybody, the guys from the business community come in and talk about how clear it is, how compelling it is. And it's always funny to me that we have people who come here who volunteer more passionately than they can even pay them to be
right.
In their organization. They're blown away by the fact that you're not even paying these people and they're passionate. You know, I pay them and I can't get them to be
right.
That passionate. But it all goes back to vision.
It does. And it's easy for a leader to say, well, people just aren't motivated. That's not true. People just don't care. That's not true. People are lazy. That's not true.
Yeah.
If there isn't a group of people who are rallying around an idea, it's generally because the leader never made the idea clear to begin with.
Right. And you're so clear in the book and the times that you cast vision for that. we're really wired for this, aren't we? I mean, there's almost sort of that thumbprint of God type thing that people want to belong to something bigger than themselves.
Yeah, people give their time and energy and even their money to a clearly cast vision.
Yeah.
Now, the second thing I think that's a problem for leaders sometimes, you know, first, I said there's two things. The first thing is there's no vision. There's not a clear enough vision to make it portable to begin with. The second challenge, and again, this is a little bit of a personality thing, and this is what we wrestled with in the early days. There's a desire sometimes among leaders to make the vision complete. And by complete, that means it's got to include everything. And the problem is, if you create a vision statement that is complete, it's going to be too long and it's not going to be portable. And I think especially in church world, this is problematic because it, not only does it need to be organizationally complete, we want it to be theologically complete.
Yeah.
So the vision statement begins, to the glory of God and His inerrant word and for the emancipation of the saints. Yeah, we feel like if we don't throw all that stuff in there, God's not going to bless it. It's going to be incomplete. Yeah. I just actually received a vision strategic plan from a local church. It's a new church.
Right.
And it's a guy that we both know, have known for a long time. He sent me this 4-page document. He said, this is our vision and our mission and our values. Will you take a look at this? And it's very pretty. I mean, I thought, who laid this out? It's so pretty. But as I read, I thought, this really doesn't say anything.
Right.
It says everything. And consequently, because it says everything, it says nothing. And it's not portable. And so I think one of the challenges for leaders, and I think we all need help in this, is for somebody to say, okay, you have 12 sentences, you have 8 sentences, you have 4 sentences, okay, but if you want this to be portable, you've got to leave some things out in order to say something, because if you say everything, you say nothing.
Give me an example of an incomplete but compelling vision.
I think Bono's organization, the One Campaign, I don't know if it's his organization, but he's involved. The One Campaign, their vision statement is to make poverty history. Mm. To make poverty history. Yeah. Now, there's all kinds of problems with that statement. Where, you know, what exactly is poverty? Exactly. Is this children? Is this adults? Is this even possible? I mean, it's very incomplete, but now you know what it is.
Right. And how
to
more
make
compelling.
Poverty history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what more compelling?
Yeah.
Than,
what are you about?
Yeah.
We're going to make poverty history. And the thing is, when you have a compelling statement like that, it's portable, it's memorable, and then there are many, many, many opportunities to fill in the blanks.
Oh, yeah.
And to, you know, there's the drive-by audience where you can just give them the one statement, and then there's your audience that you're going to have every week where you can say, here's what we mean by poverty. Here's what we mean by history. Here's how we plan to make it history. Here's how you can be involved. But everybody knows what that organization's about. And I don't know anything about the history of the statement,
right.
But I can't imagine how many hours it probably took for them to whittle down all their capacity and all the ideas of that one simple statement. But once they had it, that's
right.
Gold.
Because a lot of times you almost have to set passion aside because you may care about, or especially if you got 10 people in the room and this guy over here cares all about this one piece. And
right.
It's like, but you whittle it down. And I mean, who could be against that? All in favor?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who would vote?
You remember in the early days when we were talking through our evangelism strategy, and you know, we went round and round on this. How do we condense our whole evangelism strategy down to something that's memorable and portable? And it was, well, in evangelism, you have to pray for these people, right? And in evangelism, you have to develop relationships. And in evangelism, you have to share Christ. And at some point, you take them to church. And you know, we had 5 or 6 elements. And every time we got it down to something that was memorable, it was incomplete.
Right.
And we just wrestled and wrestled and wrestled. And we landed in a place that has created a very portable statement.
Exactly.
And for 14 years, we've been able to, you know, talk about exactly what we mean.
I remember distinctly where we were sitting around the table. And what I remember about that, just from a leadership standpoint, is you allowed, I mean, there were all the discussions and there were all the emotions and there was all that, because I came from this hyper-discipleship background and I just remember.
Everybody had verses.
And it's like, where's the Bible? Somebody have a Bible, you know, it's like, and finally, I just remember that he said, it has to be clear, it has to be simple, it's invest and invite, and we just have to move on. And it was kind of like, you know, it's like, I know you're right, I know, you're talking, but it's kind of like, but you do. You have to, as an organization, you set it aside, or as a participant in that, you set the emotion aside and go, it is incomplete, but it is so clear, and it captivated thousands of people.
And so our whole strategy was invest and invite. Yeah. Invest in the life of an unbeliever, invite them into an appropriate environment, invest and invite. The other example, I think, organizational-wide for us was, in the early days, our original vision was to create a church unchurched people love to attend. And to create a church unchurched people love to attend. And that statement has problems, because once a person attends your church, they're no longer unchurched. So unchurched people don't really attend church, do they?
That's right.
Yet we wanted to create a church unchurched people love to attend. It's problematic, but it's memorable.
Right.
And it described, and we felt like captured emotionally, the idea to create a church, we're creating a church, that unchurched people didn't just attend, but we wanted them to love to attend that church. And again, there's no theology, there are no verses. We left out all the evangelism, discipleship. Right. But for us, that became the battle cry. And for us, that becomes the measure by which we evaluate jobs, job descriptions, new initiatives, budgets, and everything we do.
And getting an entire group of people to buy into a vision that ultimately wasn't even for them.
Yeah.
And yet casting it in a compelling enough way that they could imagine being a part of that. And you talk about in the talk about that first step of creating that burden, but then giving them the possibility of imagining it. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think for the leadership team that's wrestling with this and they're asking the question, where do we start? Because again, there are plenty of ideas, right, and there are plenty of people with ideas, but how do we begin to work this down to something that's memorable and portable? I think the two questions to rally around is specifically, what is our burden, and what do we imagine about the future? What is our burden? What do we imagine about the future? And the burden, I think, kind of galvanizes, why are we here? Why are we doing this? What's the problem we want to solve? And then the idea of imagining is, okay, so what does it look like in the future? And again, what is our burden and what is our imagination? Those are both emotional words.
Right.
And this vision statement that an organization needs to land on must have an element of emotion. It must elicit emotion. You know, to make poverty history, that's an emotional right. statement. To create a church, unchurched people love to attend. You know, for a believer, there's some emotion there. So I think as a team begins to ask the question, what is our burden? What's the thing that makes us feel like we've got to do this no matter what? And what do we imagine in the future? Imagine what it would be like if we pulled this off. I think those two words and those two questions are a great place to start the conversation.
And that could take a while.
Yeah, and I think that's another pushback is, as you said earlier, people are busy. Who's got time to sit around and tweak words and phrases? It's not a meeting. Oftentimes it's a series of meetings. But when you get something like that, it's so compelling and it's so powerful.
Well, Andy, as we wrap up, why don't you just take a second really to cast a vision to our audience about really the compelling nature of casting vision?
Yeah, I think, again, as you think about your vision or as you think about really your burden, even if you don't have a vision statement or even a vision paragraph, as you think about your burden for your city or your organization or your world, imagine being able to stand up in front of a group of invested people and casting such a compelling vision that they give their energy, their time, and even their money to what you want to see happen. Imagine a year from now, a growing network of people who've rallied around your idea. Imagine being able to stand up in front of a group of people and cast a vision that's so compelling that honestly their eyes water because of the illustrations you've brought to bear and because you have really narrowed down exactly what you want to see happen and you've answered the question, why do we need to do something and why are we the ones to do it now? And I think if there's any leadership in you at all, as you imagine that, I think you'll be motivated to take the time necessary to gather the appropriate people and to develop a vision that's memorable and portable.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for joining us for the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast. I invite you to join us next month as we go to part two of Making Vision Stick. We're going to look at casting it convincingly. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, this is Andy Stanley. And if you've enjoyed these conversations about vision, I want to tell you about a resource that I think will help you and possibly your entire team. It's a little book called Making Vision Stick. And in this book, I take the five elements that we're discussing in the podcast and I talk about them in greater detail. And we've heard from churches all over the country that taking this book and working through it as a team has allowed them to spend the time they need on the topic of vision to help clarify their own vision. Making Vision Stick is available at northpointresources.org.